any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Today I'm going to begin by covering a number of developments, many involving the media, that indicate how panic-stricken the Democrats are that they're going to be wiped out during the midterms, so they're going to try to change as though they could, as though the die were not already cast. Those are significant. During the second half hour, I'm going to turn to more serious issues involving Biden's nominee to the Supreme Court, the idea that he's going to nominate a black woman, and also how NATO has been lying about the agreements with Russia to not encroach upon the Eastern Bloc nations that would become sovereign states with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, where I know personally the ambassador Ronald Reagan appointed to negotiate these matters, and it's just outrageous what's been going on here. But let me add a caveat. I have been contacted by representatives of the Canadian truckers, and I've invited them to call in. Now, it was short notice, and if it doesn't happen today, it may well happen on Monday. So if we get a call, if Mitchell gets a call from the Canadian truckers, I'm going to bring them into the show promptly and conduct a conversation with them where they have been betrayed by GoFundMe, which turns out to be a scurrilous organization. They're supposed to be completely neutral, where the truckers had amassed over $10 million in donations with GoFundMe that GoFundMe has now decided they're not going to give to the truckers. I mean, this is as disgusting as it gets. I had a GoFundMe site way back when to support my legal efforts, you know, my entanglements with the law over the slap suit, the strategic lawsuit against public participation filed against me by a purported parent of one of the alleged Sandy Hook victims. These lawsuits are brought to punish people who expose issues, reveal truths that the government doesn't want the public to know. So they bring lawsuits weaponized in order to, you know, damage, embarrass, humiliate, and then they will use every guile, every trick in the book to try and make sure that the evidence that matters doesn't get into the court. And if they have a judge who is, let me put it this way, accommodating, they can accomplish their goal. I have been through it. I know whereof I speak. And when I had early on a couple grand, GoFundMe just wiped it out and returned the money to the contributors. How bad is that? Well, I want to begin with a number of these developments, all of which seem to me to be very positive for the conservatives and very negative for the Democrats. First story, judge releases Dominion audit report, system designed to create systemic fraud. A Michigan judge has released the bombshell report on the audit of Dominion voting systems, revealing that the machines and their software were designed to create, really to perpetrate, systemic fraud. The report covers a forensic audit of Dominion machines in Michigan's Antrim County, which received national attention after it discovered that 6,000 votes for President Trump were flipped to Democrat Biden due to an error. 13th Circuit Court Judge Kevin Eisenheimer ordered the report's protective order to be lifted on Monday night, allowing the details of the audit to be unsealed and released to the public. The data firm that conducted the forensic audit determined that the machine and software in Michigan show they were designed to create fraud and influence election results, report reveals. Quoting from the report, "We conclude that the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results." Russell Ramslin Jr., co-founder of Allied Security Operations Group, said in a preliminary report, "The system intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot errors. The ruling is a major blow for Dominion CEO, a woman who hoped to keep the report sealed. The electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication," the report continues. "The intentional errors lead to bulk adjudication of ballots with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. Based on our study, we conclude that the Dominion voting system should not be used in Michigan. We further conclude that the results of Antrim County should not have been certified." Ramslin, a former Reagan administration official who's worked for NASA, and the team of cybersecurity experts examined Dominion products in Antrim County earlier this month as part of an ongoing case. They inspected and performed forensic duplication on the county's election management server, which was running Dominion Democracy Suite 5.5.3-002, compact flashcards used by local precincts in their Dominion ImageCast system, USB memory sticks used by Dominion voter assist terminals, and USB memory sticks used for the poll book. They used X-Ways Forensics and other tools, including BlackMag Blacklight Forensic Software and VirtualBox. Judge Eisenheimer approved the forensic examination in Bailey versus Antrim County, which alleges the infamous vote flip county officials reported last month may not have been the result of human error, as officials had alleged. Antrim County resident William Bailey filed the lawsuit against the county that challenges the integrity of the election equipment, for which I admire and applaud him. On Monday, Eisenheimer ruled that the report on the examination must be published. Eisenheimer unsealed the report after state and county officials withdrew their objections. Mind you now, this is the election that Joe Biden and every Democrat official guarantees was the most honest and accurate in American history. How disgusting is that? Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis shows every Republican how to fight back against the media's lie, which are simply overwhelming. The latest fake news media lie and smear took place over the weekend when a small, pitiful band of Nazi losers staged a demonstration in Florida. These are almost certainly paid for by George Soros, by the way. None of these efforts is spontaneous. All the Antifa and BLM rioting was being sponsored and paid for by the DNC and George Soros. I have no doubt whatsoever. The group of racists protested on a highway overpass and accosted motorists. Democrats and members of the corporate-controlled media tried to falsely claim that because DeSantis did not condemn the incident in a time frame they found acceptable, that DeSantis somehow tolerated Nazis or gave safe haven to Nazis in Florida. Now notice, this is a classic false flag. You know, they've orchestrated this thing so they can use it against DeSantis, just as it appears the United States is orchestrating a false flag in Ukraine they want to use against Russia. That's very much what I shall be explaining. Meanwhile, tweets, Joel Fisher, raise your hand if you love this man. DeSantis then ticked off all the measures of support he made for the Jewish community in the state of Israel and concluded with a warning for fake news media activists and Democrats. I will not be smeared by them. And, oh, by the way, Florida is probably, maybe other than Israel, the number one destination for Orthodox Jews to move if you look over the past few years, because we do it right, because we have provided tremendous support to DeSantis added. A video went viral on social media as conservatives cheered DeSantis destroying another fake news media myth. Polls show that if Donald Trump does not run for president in 2024, that Governor DeSantis starts a race as a front runner for the GOP nomination. Now, the latest poll showed Trump having like 85% support for that nomination and DeSantis in second place, but with only 12. If you took Trump out of the equation, however, DeSantis is easily the front runner for the GOP to be the GOP nominee. That's because Governor DeSantis demonstrates the one quality Republican voters repeatedly tell pollsters they want to see in their leaders, and that is being a fighter, having a backbone. DeSantis does not accept fake news media narratives and talking points as fact. Now, listen to this. Truly, truly extraordinary. And when I say, you know, the Democrats are eating their own, their foremost media champions are being set aside, being retired, being removed, being replaced, just as Biden absurdly claimed he's there to fund the police, not defund the police, as though defunding the police had not been a Democrat mantra for how many years now? 3 or 4 years, and it's had devastating effects. Crime is soaring all over the nation. Get this. Rachel Maddow is leaving MSNBC in this bizarre career change. For 15 years, Rachel has been the number one voice on left-wing cable news, but now she is stepping back. Rachel Maddow is leaving MSNBC in this bizarre career change. She's set to announce a hiatus from MSNBC to direct her attention toward movies and podcasts, including a film directed by Ben Stiller. Rachel Maddow reportedly will go on hiatus from her primetime talk show on MSNBC to focus on movie and podcast projects, including a film directed by Ben Stiller, the New York Post has reported. Maddow told staffers at the left-leaning Comcast-owned network she will step aside for a few weeks to devote time to her side project, Business Insider reported Monday. She's expected to announce a move to viewers during Monday night's broadcast. Maddow will executive produce a Focus Features movie based on her book and podcast, Bagman, about a political bribery scandal, the Post added. Last year, Maddow signed a new $30 million per year contract with MSNBC that called for her to leave her nightly talk show in 2022. Maddow would transition into a project for MSNBC's new streaming service. As part of this hiatus, however, Maddow will still cover major events such as Joe Biden's State of the Union address, where Biden, I predict, is going to declare himself to have vanquished the virus, to be a great hero, and to relieve a whole lot of these pandemic restraints and mandates, just as Boris Johnson has already done in the UK, where Boris actually upstaged Joe Biden, because that's exactly what he plans to do on the 1st of March. Mark my words. Easily testable conjecture. Maddow is the highest rated leftist host on either MSNBC or CNN, and her hiatus is beginning her transition away from nightly hosting duties. There is no obvious successor on the left to Maddow. Her departure comes at a time when rating decline across all cable news following Trump leaving office. That's one reason why a corporate-controlled media covers Trump so intensely, even though he's no longer in office. It's the real reason, no matter how much the corporate-controlled media smears him as a direct threat to American democracy, journalists and news executives secretly hope he runs again in 2024 to revive their ratings with all the Trump bashing. Mind you, so much is focused on January 6th, which was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi and the FBI in order to tarnish Trump and create a pseudo-rationale for claiming he had incited an insurrection, which under the 14th Amendment would preclude his running for office again because they are in sheer terror they are peeing in their pants, worse, over the idea that he's going to clean their clock once again in 2024, which I have no doubt is going to come to pass in spite of their efforts. Trump created a corporate control media boom in 2015 by running for president and winning the 2016 election. That surge in interest in politics carried the corporate-controlled media to record ratings and subscriptions. The corporate-controlled media desperately needs Trump to run again. Rachel is the only star on MSNBC's primetime lineup. No one at CNN can draw an audience. Without Trump running again in 2024, the corporate-controlled media may see a severe round of bloodletting and layoffs. Meanwhile, I think it's already begun, featuring Joy Reid, but let me begin with this story regarding her, whom I regard as the most despicable of all the propagandists on the on cable news, more so than Rachel. Joy Reid is contemptible. Claims a parents' movement is fake, blames white grievance and rage. Get this. On Friday, MSNBC host Joy Reid ran a segment in which he claimed that the recent trend of parents getting involved in education is phony astroturfing, all in the service of white grievance and rage. This is about as absurd as it gets. She made her remarks on her show, The Readout. She started off by comparing parents' opposition to inappropriate book choices in school as akin to Nazi book burning. Interestingly, perhaps to the surprise of some viewers and the anger of others, she also pointed out communist regimes who burn books, even that favorite of the left, Cuba. Reid said, book burning and banning happen to be staples of fascism and communism. The Nazis did it. Hitler, imposing rigid censorship on newspapers and burning all literature he considered dangerous. The Soviets banned books, too, along with the Chinese Communist Party. You wonder why Rachel isn't, why Joy Reid isn't speaking out in opposition to Amazon.com banning six of my books. Where I bring together groups of experts to sort out what really happened in relation to Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing, which I'm very pleased to say remain available, however, at moonrockbooks.com. So if you want to know the real story, the news behind the news, check it out. Why isn't Joy Reid, if she's such a champion? Because my case is so egregious, I seem to hold the indoor record for book bans by Amazon, where, well, Dr. Seuss had a comparable number of 6 books banned. It was merely for cartoons, for drawings that allegedly were racist by the way they depicted Chinese or Japanese with slit eyes. I mean, it's just ridiculous what happened there, showing the extreme censorship of the web. But Joy Reid isn't speaking out about that. No, of course not. Cuba's communist regime has banned books, newspapers, radio channels, heavily restricted access to the internet for citizens, Reid pointed out, just as is YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, it's absolutely stunning how she's giving such a lopsided presentation of the evidence in logic. This fallacy is known as special pleading. By only citing the evidence favorable to your side, it can also be described as the method of selection and elimination. Select the evidence that supports your view and eliminate the rest. Joy Reid is doing it here. So, hey, Republicans' wokeness is communism, but book burning isn't. Make it make sense, Reid said. It's literally another case of everything old is new again because this exact tactic has hijacked present-day American politics. As I say, she continues to demonstrate how disgusting she is as a propagandist. Get the picture? If you're concerned about what the government is teaching your children, you're merely a puppet of some shadowy conservative organization. Notice, that's Joy Reid's conspiracy theory. She added, But strip off that veneer and it's about so much more. It's about getting out the Republican vote by riling up white voters, but it's also about distracting those voters, because distraction and sleight of hand is basically what modern Republican politics is all about. Now, that's an absolutely fascinating claim, because as the Democrats projecting, accusing the Republicans of what they themselves are doing. It's all about distracting those voters, because distraction and sleight of hand is basically what the modern Democratic politics is all about. 100% accurate when you refocus and recognize what she's describing is true of the Democrats, but not of the Republicans. I mean, it sure ain't about governing, she insisted. She then suggested it was something more sinister. It's about selling white grievance and rage, that same rage that produces attacks on Asian Americans and Jewish people and our capital. Rather than fight inflation, let's howl over critical race theory, and instead of COVID release, let's demonize China and mass and vaccines. This is really astonishing. Notice inflation has just soared under Joe Biden. That's something they can't possibly claim is the responsibility or fault of Donald Trump. So Joy Reid is just mishmashing all the issues here. It's outrageous. Meanwhile, this Hollywood megastar just came to Joe Rogan's defense against cancel culture. The woke mob wants popular podcast Joe Rogan's scalp. Leftists smell blood in the water. And this Hollywood megastar just came to Joe Rogan's defense against cancel culture. Aging boomer Rocky Neil Young got the ball rolling on the attempt to force Spotify to cancel Rogan's podcast by demanding the platform remove his music if they were going to continue to distribute the podcast. That's an easy choice. That's a no-brainer. I am doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them. Please act on this immediately today and keep me informed of the time schedule. Now, this is a fallacious appeal to authority. I mean, Neil Young is well known as a singer of considerable popularity. I like his songs, but he knows nothing about vaccines. So how can Neil Young pose as though he were an authority on vaccines when, in fact, he's complaining about a podcast where Joe Rogan actually interviewed real authorities, not fake ones, about the vaccines? Young and other activists in the corporate-controlled media tried to force Spotify to censor Rogan over podcasts where he interviewed doctors Peter McCullough and Robert Malone, who both raised serious questions about the efficacy and the safety of the COVID vaccines. Let me just mention a word or two about these two experts that he interviewed. Robert Malone actually invented the mRNA technology that's being used in the Pfizer and Moderna and other vaccines that change your genes. Now, Robert Malone is condemning their use, saying it's completely inappropriate, has very serious and damaging, carries enormous weight. But, of course, you're not going to hear any of that from the left or even from articles like this that are reporting on what's going on. Peter McCullough is the single most cited medical authority in the United States. He has more citations to his work than any other figure in the United States. So Joe Rogan was doing the right thing by interviewing them. So-called journalists support forcing every American to take the vaccine and believe anyone who questions should be banned from the Internet. That's the Democrat position. Hollywood superstar Dwayne The Rock Johnson came to Rogan's defense. Johnson commented on Rogan's video, saying Rogan responded to the growing controversy to censor him perfectly, and he hoped to one day soon appear on the podcast. Here is a tweet from The Rock. Great stuff here, brother. Perfectly articulated. Look forward to coming on one day and breaking out the tequila with you. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki, who's another celebrated propagandist, a spokesperson for the mentally incompetent president, says tech platforms need to be doing more to curb misinformation. Let me give you a little background here I am the first and maybe the only philosopher who ever published to explain the nature of misinformation and of disinformation in two articles way back when. I mean, my goodness, this was long before they became part of the currency, well before my retirement in 2006. I'm going to guess I published those in around 2004. Articles defining what it means to have misinformation, which really is to promote false information, and what it means by disinformation is to deliberately promote information that you know to be false. So everyone could promote misinformation inadvertently if they sincerely believed it to be true. That just means it's false. How could Neil Young, for example, possibly know whether the reports coming from these experts, Peter McCullough and Robert Malone, is false? He can't possibly know. He's not an expert. He's a pseudo-authority. It's ridiculous to take him seriously. But I can assure you, I've done a vast amount of research in this area. I've reported virtually every single day since March of 2020. March of 2020. I was reporting on coronavirus and the vax for every single day, 7 days a week, up until about a year later when I switched and began reporting on 5 days a week. I have done 500 to 1,000 reports on coronavirus and the vaccines, and I can tell you these guys are two bona fide experts, and what's happening with Joe Rogan is absurd. White House Press Secretary Gene Psaki addressed podcaster Joe Rogan and his relationship with audit streaming service Spotify at a press conference Tuesday, urging tech platforms to take stronger action against misinformation. By the way, the only way you can tell whether a position is true or false by subjecting it to critical scrutiny, open public debate, where all the evidence is laid out on both sides. So those who are suppressing or canceling on the ground of misinformation are actually performing an act of disinformation because they're precluding the very technique that Sir Karl Popper, for example, offered as the only reliable technique to discover the truth. Right? I'll be right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm waiting on Jim. Maybe he had to step out or take Mitchell. A call. There he is.
Mitchell, my apology. I got a call and I muted my mic. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to continue addressing these stories. And if one of the Canadian truckers should call in, then I'll get him right on the air promptly. And I will be opening the phone lines early, but probably around 20 minutes or after the hour. Rogan and Spotify, with whom the podcaster has an exclusive contract, have been under fire the past few weeks due to several podcast episodes which critics say contain misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, notice, those critics are claiming their misinformation, but how in the world would they know, especially when Rogan is interviewing the real experts, including the guy who invented mRNA and the guy who is the most widely cited medical expert in the United States, if not in the world. In other words, they are committing the fallacy known as begging the question, which entails taking for granted the issue at dispute without having to bother to prove it. They would need to prove that Robert and Peter are wrong, but they couldn't possibly do that because they're not wrong. They are the two of the leading medical experts in this area in the entire world. So the situation here is being grossly misdescribed by throwing around a word, misinformation, that implies what they're reporting is false, when the probability what they're reporting is false is approximately zero. And that those who are attacking them are doing so for improper motives virtually 100%. Spotify announced Sunday it would begin attaching advisories to podcast episodes featuring discussion of COVID-19 that will include links to information from health authorities. Now, notice, that's actually information that's going to be false, when they say health authorities, you could have two greater health authorities in this matter than the two that Joe Rogan was interviewing. So look out, Spotify. Spotify is really being abusive here, in my opinion. This disclaimer, it's a positive step, but we want every platform to continue doing more to call out mis- and disinformation while also uplifting accurate information, said Jan Psaki, who's a primary disseminator of false information. The White House has previously urged social media platforms to combat the spread of misinformation regarding COVID-19 and vaccines, with Psaki announcing in July 2021 that the White House was flagging posts on Facebook for the company's fact checkers to review. Well, let me just say, they are promoting the false stories about COVID, the pandemic, and the vaccines, not Joe Rogan and his expert witnesses such as Robert Malloy, who invented the mRNA, or Peter McCullough, the most widely cited medical effort. Now get this, which just saddens me beyond words. Joe Rogan apologizes to Spotify and musicians amid boycott over his podcast. Podcaster Joe Rogan admitted Sunday he could do more when it comes to informing his listeners. Musicians Neil Young and Joni Mitchell recently boycotted Spotify for continuing to host the Joe Rogan Experience, which has been accused by medical professionals of spreading COVID misinformation. Well, look, medical professionals who are paid hacks are dime a dozen. So, of course, they can be accused by medical professionals who are on the payroll. That doesn't mean what they're saying, their accusations or complaints, have any foundation in evidence or in science. They do not. I guarantee they do not. Rogan said he'd be open to changes to the show, such as booking more mainstream experts after having controversial ones and doing more research on certain topics. Well, the problem is the mainstream. You don't need to book more mainstream experts. They're boundless. You find them on MSNBC, NBC, the major networks every single day, virtually 24 hours a day. What the public needs is the alternative point of view, such as Ron Johnson, brilliantly executed with COVID-19, a second opinion, where he brought together experts of this caliber to address these issues. We need more of that. We don't need Joe Rogan to become a pussy and to replicate what we're getting from all the other sources, which are promoting misinformation deliberately. I mean, get a grip. It's embarrassingly bad to have to go through all of this. We're talking about fallacies I taught college students to detect and avoid for 35 years. Meanwhile, Trump vows to ban biological males from women's sports if he wins in 2024. That's going to resonate with every parent in the country. Donald Trump vowed to ban biological males, transgender women, from competing in women's sports should he run for and win his election, the election as president in 2024. Barring some catastrophe, mark my words, that is going to come to pass. The former president made what some have speculated was a campaign pledge during a rally in Conroe, Texas over the weekend. He was there Saturday. Huge event. Very well received. "We will ban men from participating in women's sports," Trump told the crowd. So ridiculous. He then turned his focus to Leah Thomas, a biological male competing in women's swimming at the University of Pennsylvania. Thomas has sparked controversy after shattering numerous women's swim records at Penn. "Did you see the man who was in swim team that I know very well, refusing to refer to Thomas by his preferred pronouns? The record held for like 11 years. He beat it by 38 seconds. I mean, look, in swimming, and I have relatives who are engaged in swimming competitions, the differences between winning and losing is usually a fraction of a second. So here you got a guy who's shattering women's swimming records by 38 seconds, meaning there's something profoundly wrong here. And the fact is that men are physically far more strong, have greater endurance, greater speed than women. We all herald and we're thrilled when the women's sports received, you know, equal funding under what I recall was Title IV, that was a great event in American history. Now the Democrats are reversing all of this. This is a discrimination against women who are competing in women's sports, which we all have praised forever by allowing men to pretend to be women and compete as well. Unbelievable. In the race, former President Trump is referring to, Thomas beat the next closest rival of the in the 1,650 freestyle by a clear 38 seconds, setting a record for the event. Not beating the record itself by 38 seconds, Thomas previously competed for the school's men's swim team for 3 years before joining the women's. He knew the competition would be easier. I mean, this is a form of cheating. This is grotesque. This is so blatant. This is so insulting. Trump seems to be making the issue of transgender athletes a potential campaign platform. Capitalizing on the outrage of those feel is destroying women's sports, which it is doing. And this is a perfect choice for a campaign platform, no doubt about it. Young girls and women are incensed that they are now being forced to compete against those who are biological males, Trump said at CPAC last year. Trump was already calling this out last year. It's not good for women. It's not good for women's sports who have worked so long and so hard to get where they are. A Gallup poll released last year showed the vast majority of Americans by a 62-34% margin believe transgender athletes should only be allowed to play on sports teams that correspond with their biological sex, or introduce a third category, have men's sports, women's sports, and transgender sports. That's okay with me. Just don't promote the absurdity that men can compete as though they were women in women's sports. That's the absurdity. Olympian Caitlyn Jenner, who is Bruce Jenner, is still considered by many to be one of the greatest athletes of all time, weighed in on the issue recently. I've been pretty consistent. We have to protect women's sports from something like this. Leah Thomas, first of all, I respect her right to live her life authentically. Suffering from gender dysphoria is a horrible lifelong struggle, and every story is different. Former representative from Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat, introduced a bill in Congress in 2020 that would force Title IX to be applied based on a person's biological sex. Our legislation protects Title IX, and I believe that's the correct reference rather than Title IV, original intent, which was based on the general biological distinction between men and women athletes based on sex, Gumbert observed. And I like the way Tulsi's hanging in there. Tucker's interviewing her probably once a week on the average, and I think she's a tremendous person. She has a military background. She's very thoughtful, completely competent. She'd make a wonderful running mate, in my opinion, with, for example, surprise, surprise, Donald Trump. Because the Democrats can't abide her because she speaks too much truth and contradicts too many of their myths and fallacies. Meanwhile, get this, another sign that the Democrats are losing popular support. Get zucked. Facebook loses daily users for first time ever. Stock plummets 23%. Facebook reported its first ever quarterly decline of daily users globally this week, sending its stock price plummeting by 23% in intraday trading on Thursday. The massive drop has wiped out about $200 billion in market value for Zuckerberg and his shareholders. That's just a tiny pittance. The majority of Facebook's advertising profit comes from North American users, so a loss of a million shows signs of what could be a worrying trend for the company. The loss led to overall decrease in daily Facebook users globally, which a company spokesperson said was the first sequential decline in the history of Facebook. For perspective, Facebook saw its daily users drop from 1.93 billion to 1.929 billion between quarters. The company is still extremely profitable, making almost $40 billion in profit in 2021 alone, but it's also currently using billions on projects like Reality Labs, the division responsible for the Quest virtual reality headset. Facebook has bet big on the metaverse, rebranding itself as Meta, and planning to usher in a new form of internet experience primarily via virtual reality. As such, the company is investing in the development of new VR headsets, VR software, and AR glasses. The Reality Labs decision lost around $10.2 billion last year with a reported revenue of $2.9 billion. On an earnings call on Wednesday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the country's next VR headset will be released in 2022 and will be the high end of the price spectrum. Yes, they're going to charge a lot for, by the way, for what actually is going down. Now, let me see. We have a new video of what happened in the Florida condo compound, where you can see the flashing lights from a classic controlled demolition. There's no doubt about it. It's only 23 seconds. I'm going to play it. You may or may not hear anything. However, let it roll. I'll just... Another view that's on TikTok. You can find it there on TikTok. Check it out. What this means is that was also a contrived event. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army is immediately enforcing its vaccine mandate. This is disgusting. It's an effort to wipe out the capacity for America to respond militarily, where I'm also convinced that bringing in all these miscreants across the border, many who are of military age, they're going to be recruited into the U.S. military, where the government has long since determined that American soldiers are not willing to fire on the American people. Well, these new recruits, these migrants from Costa Rica, El Salvador, Haiti, who knows where, are going to be willing to fire on the American people. Mark my words, that's what's going on here. The U.S. Army has ordered commanders to start discharging anti-vax soldiers immediately, saying they jeopardize the Army's ability to win wars, which, considering the damage the vax does, the facts are exactly the opposite. Those who get vaxxed are going to suffer debilitating illness or even death, which is going to vastly weaken. So you have, you know, despicable cads like this Lloyd Austin as Secretary of the Department of Defense. I mean, it's just disgusting what's going on here. None of this should happen. The order applies to regular Army soldiers, active duty Army reservists, and cadets. The only exceptions are those who have approved or pending vaccine exemption requests, the Army said, which, by the way, is a tiny, tiny percentage. Personnel whose requests for exemption on medical or religious grounds have been rejected can appeal the decision, but will have just 7 days from the final refusal to either begin a vaccination regimen or face dismissal from service. Soldiers who are set to leave the force or begin transition leave on or before July 1st, 2022 will also be granted an exemption. However, in all other cases, commanders are required to process those separate actions as expeditiously as possible, pointing to a directive issued on January 31st detailing the procedure. Anyone who is to be discharged under the directive will not be eligible for involuntary separation pay and may see their unearned special or incentive pay withheld as well. This is just beating up on those who have the knowledge and the integrity to understand it's a catastrophic blunder to take the vax. Army readiness depends on soldiers who are prepared to train, deploy, fight, and win our nation's wars, said the Secretary of the Army, Christine Warmuth. Unvaccinated soldiers represent risks to the force and jeopardize readiness. Just a blatant, flat-out lie. This is clear incompetence. It's more than enough evidence, including the Department of Defense itself, has vast evidence of the damage being done by the vaccine. So these Army leaders, the administration, know better. The Pentagon made vaccination mandatory in August of 2021. In mid-December, they reported a 96% vaccination rate among active duty servicemen, while saying 98% had received at least one dose. In my opinion, that's just god-awful. That's staggering news. The Army said it had not discharged any soldiers solely for refusing to receive the jab so far, though it has relieved six Army leaders, including two battalion commanders, and issued 3,073 reprimands to personnel for rejecting the vaccine order. Well, it's an illegal order, actually. Under the UC Uniform Code of Military Justice, you're obligated to refuse an illegal order. In my opinion, this is an illegal order. It's certainly detrimental to maintaining the viability of the American Armed Forces. I regard this, therefore, as an act of treason by the Department of Defense, by the Secretary of Defense, and by everyone involved in this monstrous decision. The U.S. Army will not be the first to kick out personnel for refusing to be vaccinated. The Air Force has already adopted such a measure, recently sacking active duty airmen by the dozens over the issue. That's going to leave us in just a great situation. Now, Edward Henry and John Rappaport, among the experts who've been keeping tabs on what's really going on with the vaccines, here's what he has to say. I did some calculations that suggest the 40% increase in U.S. mortality during 2021, announced by a large insurance company, is probably caused by the deaths from the COVID-19 vaccines. That is an increase in mortality in 2021 over 2020, which should have had massive mortality increase from COVID-19 compared to 2019. But there was no such increase in mortality in 2020, meaning the pandemic itself wasn't bringing about deaths. Genevieve Briand, assistant program director for the Applied Economics Master Degree Program at Hopkins, critically analyzed the effect of COVID on U.S. deaths using data from the CDC. She found there was zero increase in deaths across the United States between 2018 and 2020. That suggests the COVID-19 scare was not real. It makes no sense that 2020 should show zero increase in mortality and 2021 should show a 40% increase in mortality when the same alleged pandemic spanned both years. Thus, the increase in the death rate in 2021 can only be attributed to the vaccine, since that is the only material variable that changed for 2021. This is impeccable reasoning. As of December 31st, 2021, 21,392 deaths in the U.S. have been associated with the vaccines. The VAERS data shows correlation and cannot be taken as proof of causation, but it's a necessary condition. If you don't have correlation, you cannot have causation. But a strong inference of causation can be drawn when the deaths happen close to the onset of illness after vaccination. Megan Redshaw determined that 41% of those reported in VAERS as dying after receiving one of the COVID vaccines later died after becoming ill within 48 hours of injection. We will consider that as establishing a reasonable belief that the vaccines were the cause of the deaths. Thus, we come up with a conservative figure of 8,766 persons we have probable cause to believe died from COVID-19 as reported in AVIRS. Now, you know, AVIRS only reports 1%. Now, if you took that figure and made it 10%, you'd add 87,000. If you make it 100% based on the 1%, 876,600, I believe, in fact, the deaths from the COVID jab are in the millions. HHS-funded study reported the AVIRS database is only catching 1% of all vaccine-related adverse events. This means that each of the above numbers can be multiplied by 100 to get the true scope of the damage being done by the vax. That means the 8,766 figure representing the number of deaths caused by a vaccine represents 876,600. There are 329 million people in the United States. Data from 2019 showed a mortality rate of 0.87% in the U.S. That means that it could be expected that of 329 million people, one could expect 2,863,300 will die. If you add the 876,600 deaths caused by the COVID vaccines, we come up with an expected increase in death from the vaccines in 2021 of 30%. That's close to the 40% figure arrived by the insurance company. The disparity may be due to the conservative assumption that vaccines caused only 41% of the various deaths associated with COVID-19. The actual causation percentage is likely much higher, much, much higher. And he's commenting on a story I've reported before. Insurance company announces an unprecedented 40% increase in deaths since the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. As you all know, if you've been watching, listening to this show, that there's been a tremendous spike. The increase since they introduced the vax has been astronomical. Yeah, virtually a flat line. It's like a hockey stick on its side. And then you have this huge increase once the vax was introduced. Everyone knows this to be the case. It should have been taken off of the market long since. It's clear there's a master power behind the scene that wants to kill us all. Here's another report confirming what I'm telling. British children up to 52 times more likely to die following a COVID shot from a government report. Data from Britain's Office for National Statistics shows a stark increase in death among children, both single and double jabbed, compared to their unjabbed counterparts. Now, in the UK, they still have some respect for truth, for statistics, and their reporting is far more accurate. To summarize, Britain's Office for National Statistics has released data indicating that children who received the COVID jabs have suffered a death rate 54 times greater than that of their unjabbed counterparts. The same thing's going to happen in the U.S. military. Everywhere else this is applied, a death rate 54 times greater than those who are unjabbed. And yet the Secretary of the Army says those who are not taking the jab are making the Army less safe and less healthy. It's absurd. It is absurd. Just, we'll be back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is clean.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Radio, radio, radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Before I open the lines for callers, I want to share the two most recent blogs at jamesfetzer.org, both of which are very telling. The first by Mark Fison, who's simply an excellent commentator. Biden blocked a black woman from the Supreme Court. Listen to this. President Biden wants credit for nominating the first black woman to the Supreme Court. But here is the shameful irony. As a senator, Biden warned President George W. Bush that if he nominated the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court, he would filibuster and kill her nomination. The story begins in 2003 when Bush nominated Judge Janice Rogers Brown to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. The D.C. Circuit is considered the country's second most important court, has produced more Supreme Court justices than any other federal court. Brown was immediately hailed as a potential Supreme Court nominee. She was highly qualified, having served for 7 years as an associate justice of the California Supreme Court, the first black woman to do so. She was the daughter and granddaughter of sharecroppers and grew up in rural Alabama during the dark days of segregation, when her family refused to enter restaurants or theaters with separate entrances for blacks and whites. She rose from poverty and put herself through college and UCLA School of Law. By the way, my parents both graduated from UCLA. As a working single mother, she was a self-made African-American legal star. But she was an outspoken conservative, so Biden set out to destroy her. Biden and his fellow Democrats filibustered her nomination along with several other Bush circuit court nominees, all of whom had majority support in the Senate. Columnist Robert Novak called it the first full-scale effort of American history to prevent a president from picking the federal judges he wants. Democrats argued she was out of the legal mainstream, but Republicans responded that she had written more majority opinions than any other justice on the California Supreme Court, and she was reelected with 76% of the vote, the highest percentage of all justices on the ballot. When Democrats derailed her nomination, Bush renominated her in 2005. Brown was eventually confirmed by a vote of 56-43 after Democrats released her and several other Bush nominees in exchange for Republican agreement not to eliminate the filibuster, not to eliminate the filibuster for judicial nominations. Biden voted a second time against her nomination. He never explained why. If Brown was so radical, Democrats let her through but killed 10 other Bush nominees. The following month, when Justice Sandra Day O'Connor announced her retirement, Brown was on Bush's short list to replace her. She would have been the first black woman ever nominated to serve as an associate justice of the Supreme Court. But Biden appeared on CBS Face the Nation to warn that if Bush nominated Brown, she would face a filibuster, quote, I can assure you that would be a very, very, very difficult fight, and she probably would be filibustered, Biden said. Asked by moderator John Roberts, wasn't she just confirmed? Biden replied that the Supreme Court is a, quote, totally different ballgame because, quote, a circuit court judge is bound by stare decisis. They don't get to make new law. What Biden threatened was unprecedented. There has never been a successful filibuster of a nominee for associate justice in the history of the Republic. Biden wanted to make a black woman the first in history to have her nomination killed by filibuster. Bush eventually nominated Samuel Alito instead, and of course he still sits on the court today. Biden called the filibuster now today a relic of the Jim Crow era, but he threatened to use that relic as a tool to keep a black woman who actually lived under Jim Crow off the highest court in the land. The irony is that now he wants to get rid of the filibuster and can claim credit for putting the first black woman on the court. There are many conservatives on Bush's short list whose legal philosophy Biden opposed, but Biden only promised a filibuster the one black woman. Why? Perhaps a clue lies in another confirmation fight that Bill Biden helped wage in 2001. Democrats blocked the nomination of Miguel Estrada to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals on the D.C. Circuit. According to internal strategy memos obtained by the Wall Street Journal, they targeted Estrada at the request of liberal interest groups who said Estrada was especially dangerous because he is Latino, and the White House seems to be grooming him for a Supreme Court appointment. They did not want Republicans to put the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court. So Biden and his fellow Democrats killed Estrada's nomination, the first appeals court nominee in history to be successfully filibustered. It paid off when President Barack Obama nominated Sonia Sotomayor as the first Hispanic justice. So far as I can see, Sotomayor has been an abject failure on the court, unprincipled, purely ideological. Democrats' commitment to diversity is a ruse. Biden was willing to destroy the careers of an accomplished Latino lawyer and a respected black female judge and stop Republicans from putting either on the Supreme Court. For Democrats, it's all about identity politics. Indeed, Biden might have become president had he not made the pledge to nominate a black woman. That promise helped secure the endorsement of Representative James Clyburn of South Carolina, which Biden won the South Carolina primary and rescued his faltering campaign. So when Biden tries to bask in the glory of his historic nomination, remember Janice Rogers Brown, the black woman who does not sit on the Supreme Court today because of Biden's disgraceful obstruction. I think that's absolutely right. The other story I want to share with you, and then we'll open the lines, is the following. Did NATO lie to Russia? To which I added to the title, is the Pope Catholic? This comes from Russia Today, part of the reason it's so important. Talks held in the final days of the USSR have shaped President Vladimir Putin's views on the current European crisis. And let me say, those negotiations were conducted by a special ambassador appointed by Ronald Reagan, whom I happen to know personally. And he can verify all of this, which I know to be true from independent sources as well. After weeks of talks between Russian and Western diplomats over Moscow's proposed security guarantees designed to limit NATO expansion and reduce tension in Europe, documents leaked to Spanish newspaper El País have revealed the bloc's long-awaited response. Amid an ongoing standoff over Ukraine, representatives from Washington and NATO have proposed several measures for de-escalation, including increased transparency about each side's military plans. The core of the letter, however, was a resounding, if unsurprising, rejection of Moscow's central request to prohibit the expansion of the U.S.-led military bloc into Ukraine and Georgia. Russia's arguments that NATO's growth should be limited rest partly on promises that President Vladimir Putin says the West made in the 1990s, assuring Soviet and then Russian negotiators that the organization would not seek to add new member states further east. Western leaders insist no such guarantees were made in last month. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken commented, "I think the charitable interpretation would be that sometimes we and Russia have different interpretation of history." So, did the West break promises about NATO expansion, and why is the issue so important to Putin today? How has NATO evolved? The North Atlantic Treaty Organization grew out of British and American efforts in the wake of World War II to build an alliance that would contain the Soviet Union and combat the spread of communism in Europe. After West Germany joined the faction in 1955, bringing the total number of members to 15, the USSR formed the Warsaw Pact with seven other East Bloc states. The two sides fought ideological battles and proxy wars for the duration of the Cold War, but there was never any direct military confrontation between them. Does Russia have a point about NATO expansion? After the collapse of the Warsaw Pact and dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, NATO was left with the task of evaluating its purpose and priorities. This was the decade when the alliance made its first military operations, including intervening in the wars that erupted in the former Yugoslavia as the Federation broke up into separate states. At the time, the bloc sought friendly relations with the newly autonomous nations of Central and East Europe. The first post-Cold War expansion of NATO happened in 1990 when the formerly communist East Germany reunified with West Germany, which was already a member of the alliance. In 1997, the organization invited former Eastern Bloc states, Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic to join among much internal debate and opposition from Russia. Since then, 11 more countries have been inducted, including Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, the Baltic states that had previously been parts of the USSR. At the Bucharest summit in 2008, the bloc made an announcement that Georgia and Ukraine, also former Soviet republics, would someday join. However, the two countries were not offered formal paths to membership, and with Russia strongly opposed, their potential induction into NATO remains a pressing question with far-reaching consequences for security in Europe today. Were promises broken? At a end-of-year press conference in December, Putin asked the U.S. to remember, as I have mentioned many times before, and as you know very well, how you promised in the 1990s that NATO would not move an inch to the east. You cheated us shamelessly. The Russian leader was referring to a statement former Secretary of State James Baker made in 1990 when he promised to then Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev that NATO wouldn't move, quote, one inch to the east if the USSR would agree to German reunification. Putin and others have pointed to the phrase as proof of how Russia was misled by Washington during and after the fall of the Soviet Union, and as a justification for Russia's current demand that it be provided written guarantees limiting the Western bloc's expansion. However, I would observe the United States doesn't respect treaties written or non-written. We have violated like 178 treaties with Native Americans during the history of our expansion to the West. NATO writes on one of its websites that no such agreement was ever made and cites a 2014 with Gorbachev in which he says, quote, the topic of NATO expansion was not discussed at all, and it wasn't brought up in those years. I say this with full responsibility. In the same interview, however, Gorbachev goes on to say, the decision for the U.S. and its allies to expand NATO into the east was decisively made in 1993. I call this a big mistake from the very beginning. It was definitely a violation of the spirit of the statements and assurances made to us in 1990. And I guarantee you, James Baker, then Secretary of State, did make those assurances that NATO would never expand a single inch to the east. In 2017, the National Security Archive in Washington shared declassified documents showing that Baker's famous statement was one of many assurances Western officials made to Soviet leaders. NATO rejects Russia's red line. The archive writes, the documents show that multiple national leaders were considering and rejecting Central and Eastern European membership in NATO as early as 1990 through 1991, that discussions of NATO in the context of German unification negotiation in 1990 were not at all narrowly limited to the status of East German territory, and that subsequent Soviet and Russian complaints about being misled by NATO expansion were founded in written contemporaneous memcoms and telecons at the highest level. The archive released another trove of documents in 2018 showing that Russian Federation officials were told in the 1990s that the country would be included in future pan-European security structure and that Moscow had consistently objected to NATO expansion as threatening its national security interests. According to the archive, Secretary of State Warren Christopher told Russian President Boris Yeltsin in 1993 that the Partnership for Peace program, which American President Bill Clinton later described as a track that will lead to NATO membership, was about including Russia together with all European countries, not creating a new membership list of some European countries for NATO, to which Yeltsin reportedly responded, this is genius. However, American diplomats' accounts of the meeting suggest the Russian leader did not listen to hints that the Partnership for Peace would lead to enlargement. And, quote, Christopher is telling Yeltsin that the U.S. would be looking at the question of membership as a longer-term eventuality. Gorbachev eventually agreed to German reunification, and there was never an official treaty limiting NATO's enlargement. As a historian, Mary Elise Surratt writes, Baker and his aides, quote, would point to the hypothetical phrasing and lack of any written agreement afterward as a sign that the secretary had only been test-driving one potential option of many, end quote. But on the Russian side, there is still this residual bitterness afterwards. Despite disagreement over the exact nature of the decades-old talk, Vladimir Putin, the West's conduct and NATO's subsequent movement east represent a betrayal and an ongoing threat to Vladimir Putin. What are the stakes today? For months now, the U.S. and other Western nations have been voicing fears that Russia could be planning on imminent invasion of Ukraine and have threatened massive economic sanctions in the event of an attack. Moscow has consistently denied aggressive intentions, but Putin and other Russian leaders have said they could take unspecified military technical measures if their security concerns are not met. Washington and NATO have already rejected the idea of a formal limit on the bloc's growth. Last week, Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg told reporters it will not compromise on potential enlargement into Ukraine or Georgia and maintain that NATO is a defensive alliance and we do not seek confrontation. Leaked U.S. and NATO document replies to Russia. Here's what you need to know. Stoltenberg and other representatives of the bloc frequently refer to its open-door policy and say that Russia should not have a veto over mutual agreements between NATO and other countries. According to the organization's founding document, membership is open to any European state in a position to further the principles of this treaty and to contribute to the security of the North Atlantic area. Ukraine and Georgia's inductions are not on the table any time in the near future. But the two nations' leaders hold out hope that the promise made in 2008 will someday be fulfilled. Many in those countries contend that being a part of NATO would protect them against the threat of future aggression, and Kiev cites Moscow's actions in Crimea in 2014 as evidence that it covets Ukrainian territory. That year, after the ousting of Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, who is pro-Russian, during mass street protests, which were fostered by the United States, which turned violent in places, Moscow sent soldiers to the peninsula and subsequently incorporated the territory into Russia following a public vote. This was all in accordance with international law. Ukraine and most other countries consider the poll illegitimate due to the military presence, and Kiev refers to Crimea as a temporarily occupied territory. Putin has defended the referendum and said the Crimean people exercise the right to self-determination. Moscow has indicated that it considers NATO membership for Ukraine and Georgia, both of which share long borders with Russia, as a red line. In addition to seeing the 1990 talks as evidence of Western deception, Russian leaders also point to the 1999 OSCE Charter for European Security, which says that each country has an equal right to security and that nations will not strengthen their security at the expense of the security of other states. Officials have argued this means NATO and the U.S. cannot expand their military infrastructure eastward without Russia's consent. At a TV appearance last week, Moscow's foreign minister Sergey Lavrov said it was difficult to see NATO as a defensive alliance in light of its interventions in Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, and Libya. On Wednesday, Kremlin Press Secretary Dmitry Peskov told journalists that Putin continues to be concerned about past deceptions by the West and claimed, hypothetically in the future, foreseeable or far off, we could see Ukraine as a NATO member attacking us. Then we would face the threat of a war between Russia and the NATO bloc, Peskov warned. Now, let me tell you, we're getting reports, complete nonsense, about a possible false flag attack by Russia within Ukraine, which would be used to justify Russian intervention. Well, what's going on there is Blackwater, Eric Prince, is already present in the Ukraine. Those forces are there. They are going to commit just the kind of atrocities that would then be exposed by Russia, including video reports that the United States is already claiming would be fabrications as part of a false flag. This is how the Western nations provoke others to fulfill a narrative that they interpret as, in this case, Russian aggression, when it's nothing of the sort. So I want everyone to be aware of what's going on here. This is despicable conduct, but sad to say it's characteristic of the USA in the past, in the present, and in the future. Meanwhile, I open the phone lines. Anyone would like to call in, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Mitchell is standing by to take your calls. So please, you're welcome to talk about anything whatsoever that I have been covering here. There's been another development, by the way, in Canada, where conservatives have elected Candace Bergen as an interim party leader. Mitchell, are you here? Would you like to contribute thoughts of yours?
Not really, Jim. You're doing such a, you're casting a good net, catching all the fish and pointing out, you know, all the landmarks of this classic political disaster that's going on in Canada.
Excellent. Yeah, well, let me continue with this story. This is a fascinating development. Manitoba Member of Parliament Candace Bergen, not to be confused with the actress whom I like a lot, has been elected as the interim leader of the Conservative Party after removal of Aaron O'Toole. In a secret caucus vote late on Wednesday, Conservative MPs gave the nod to Bergen to replace O'Toole after months of infighting severely weakened his hold on the party. Bergen, who was deputy leader of the Conservatives under O'Toole, has represented the ridding of Portage Lugar since 2008, was opposition House leader from 2016 to 2020. Nine candidates were in the running for the interim position on Wednesday night. MP Scott Reed, the chair of the National Conservative Caucus, said in a statement, "The selection of Bergen came hours after O'Toole was ousted from the leadership, with 73 MPs voting to remove him, only 45 lining up in his support. The vote was called after 35 MPs signed a petition over the weekend to put his leadership to the test. In a recorded statement posted to social media Wednesday afternoon, O'Toole said that he accepted the results, but he had some parting comments about the direction of the party he would no longer lead. This country needs a conservative party that is both an intellectual force and a governing force. Ideology without power is vanity. Seeking power with ideology is hubris," O'Toole said, proving himself to be a complete failure. O'Toole is the first party leader to be removed under a process outlined in the Reform Act, legislation passed in 2015 that allows a caucus to give members the power to trigger a leadership review. Anger against his leadership has been simmering for months, sparked by September's disappointing election results. Call in. Mitchell is standing by to take your call.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I'd like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio. most of that money.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Yep, I hope you're doing well. Come on, give us a call, 540-352-4452. Gosh, I hope Jim's okay. And we got one of our longtime callers on, Paul. Are you there, Paul?
I'm here, ready to go, locked and loaded.
All right, I guess we're just waiting on James.
I'm here. Go for it, Paul. Glad to have you here. Give us your thoughts.
I was just about to tell Mitch. I said, well, I got to have a target, you know, so I'll put him in the chair.
Here I am.
So let me see if I have this straight. Trump remarked that he would be supporting or introducing a law to ban actual biological men from women's sports, eh? So brave.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. All right, moving on from the pile of phlegm on the ground that I just expectorated having a higher value than Trump or anything that Trump says, I'm going to just mention briefly this Canadian trucker thing, which you reported.
Sure.
Now that GoFundMe has screwed them over. This
yes.
was predictable. This was the move that you could see coming. I didn't predict it. If I had predicted it, of course, I'd be telling you that I had and called in. But you know, it was one of those things where it's just you're waiting for that to come, and I figured it probably would, and it has. It's no shock. So maybe now some of these truckers will watch some of the videos that are covering this big movement. Okay, the videos such as on BitChute and Rumble and Odyssey and TikTok, because I've heard some of these truckers actually say, including one of the leaders, oh, I'm fully vaxxed. You know, when I hear this kind of shit coming out of a grown man's mouth, I just want to say, don't tell me anything more. Okay, you have no validity. Any man that says, I'm fully vaxxed is a fool, and he needs to say nothing from that point forward. I don't care what else he says. Oh, well, I'm against the mandates. I'm against this. I'm against that.
Paul.
My first thought on the trucking thing would be this. okay? It's great if they figure out now that they got to do something more than drive a truck around, or they got to do something more than drive a truck somewhere and park it. It's nice. I'm not saying at all that the movement in general isn't a good thing, but overall, the vast majority of these truckers are naive if they think that the government will just drop everything and everything will go back to normal, and then we can all just go back to living our lives as if nothing has happened. All that has occurred is that these people have been revealed to enough of us now as the evil foreign rulers that they are. Canada does not have its own government. We don't have our own government. The reason the government doesn't serve the American people's interest is because it's occupied by evil aliens who are our enemy. Okay, that's what we got to figure out. And until people figure that out, no driving trucks around, parking trucks, waving signs, having rallies is going to do any good at all, as entertaining as it might be. Thank you for hearing it. You can react now.
Well, I think you're wrong. I mean, the fact that some of them are vaccinated, some of them are not, is fact evidence. Paul, you let me answer. I very patiently let you go on your rant, all right?
Go ahead.
You understand this. We've gone through this before, so don't do this. You don't interrupt me.
Got it.
The fact that some of the truckers are vaxxed and others are not, it just focuses attention on their opposition is to the mandates. They're showing some of them are not opposed to vax, even in the case of COVID. Of course, I agree with you, it's a mistake, because the vaccines are deadly and they're going to do tremendous harm. But you should not discount that it helps to emphasize the opposition is to the mandates, to this governmental overreach of not allowing people to make these health decisions for yourself. That's the first point I make. The second is the following. You would have them do nothing to protest because you ultimately conclude it may be unsuccessful. That's just grossly wrong, Paul. It's far better to do something. Look how this has drawn the attention of the whole world onto Canada and the protest, and how many have rallied to their support. Yes, GoFundMe has proven to be treacherous. GoFundMe pulled the same stunt on me way back when by returning a couple of grand in donations to support my legal case. So I've known that GoFundMe was not trustworthy, but I think this is really setting up for a governmental action against GoFundMe. And, of course, the media giants who have also abused their position by taking down all the videos that are explaining what's really going on with the vax, whether it's Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, or Joe Rogan, for that matter, where I'm acutely disappointed by his folding. I mean, Rogan was supposed to have a backbone, and he turned out to be a pussy. And that's very disappointing to me. Paul, your thoughts.
Okay, so there's a lot there. Thank you. I won't make comments again once you go, so I appreciate your patience there. So, you know, look, here's the thing. Okay, I'm not wrong overall. You may perceive me to be wrong here and there on particular points I'm making, but there isn't any arguing the fact that this whole thing has been about getting a needle in our arms from the very beginning, okay? And for guys to say, right, well, I'm not opposed to the government or these pharmaceutical corporations sticking needles in us. It's just, well, it has to be voluntary. Well, yeah, that's like, duh. Okay, that's, to me, you know, this whole thing is just, it's so infuriating on so many levels. Look, here's the thing. If you think for a minute, and I don't really believe that you do, okay, if you think for a minute that the government or these corporations is just going to go back to the way it was and is going to drop all this stuff and everything is going to be just like it was before, and then maybe we're going to have a few years where, you know, they're not going to mess with this. You know, I just think it's naive beyond belief. I don't really know the level of awareness of most of these truckers. I'm assuming it's a spectrum just like in general society. But if they haven't watched any of the videos that are available on the platforms that are covering their movement, we're screwed. I mean, the government is telling children to get injected with these poisons. That's it. Okay, they're the enemy. The government is the enemy. And there's only one thing to do when you have an enemy, and it's not to drive trucks around and park them. You know, I'm sorry. I hate to characterize it like that, but somebody, a friend of mine once told me this recently, and it just kind of struck me. He goes, well, I haven't seen him do anything except drive some trucks around. And I thought about it for a second, and I wasn't upset at him diminishing it in that way. I knew exactly what he was saying, because he and I are on the same page when it comes to what's happening in this world. In this world, we're being ruled by evil ghouls, evil goblins, hostile racial aliens. That's who these people are, Jim. Okay, these dual Israeli citizens, you posted all these panels. They're hostile racial aliens, and they're out to do us in, and it's a long-term plan.
Well, Paul, look, I agree with the big picture you describe. I recognize that to be the case. But the fact of the matter is you're suggesting unless an action is guaranteed to succeed, there's no point in taking it, which I reject categorically. You do not know what might work, politically especially, until you try it out if it has a reasonable semblance of the possibility of success, which it seems to me this trucker convoy does. Moreover, I'm kind of floored that you're taking the fact that one trucker said he was vaxxed as though that were a general phenomenon. I'd be willing to conjecture most of these guys are very much opposed to the vax and would share your opinion and my opinion about it. So you are recklessly overgeneralizing based upon an obviously too small sample, which I find surprising. But that's my critique of your presence.
Didn't Trudeau himself say something along the lines of, 90% of them are vaxxed anyway, so, you know, what the heck? I mean, more or less, I heard those sentiments expressed by somebody, wasn't Trudeau, somebody else in Canada.
What is this supposed to be, an ad hominem attack on the truckers because a lot of them are vaxxed? The point is they're protesting the mandate. They're protesting the mandates, Paul.
I know exactly what they're protesting, but the thing is, do they understand the enemy that we face? Okay.
Paul, we all know you are the sole exclusive understander of the enemy we face. You make that clear every time you come on the air. You do any amount of overreach here, Paul, I'm really sorry to say. I mean, this is not your best argument, all right? You make lots of good arguments. This is not among
them. I'm not making an argument. I'm just stating my opinion. I bet you right now that near 50% of those truckers have received at least one shot, Tim. I guarantee that near 50% of those truckers have received at least one shot.
What difference does it make? They're opposing the mandate, Paul, and they're doing something about it. They're doing something about it.
What are they doing, Paul? What are they doing?
They're creating chaos in the government there and seeking to force the government to rescind the mandates, which they oppose rightly, completely, 100%. I am with that.
So the government now rescinds the mandates. Now what? You know, you made a statement the other day in one of your shows. I think it was might have been Wednesday, where and part of what you were talking about, you said, that government agencies like the FDA have completely abandoned their responsibility, blah, 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 blah. And when I heard that, I just shook my head because according to what I read online, the FDA joined the pharmaceutical companies in wanting to restrict the release of the information and the contents of the vaccine for until whatever, 75 years from now. Okay. So if that's true, what does that tell you? And what is it, the characterization of the FDA as abandoned its responsibilities? No. The government has outright been our enemy for a very long time. You know, recently I've been listening to some of these older archive shows on Revolution Radio, and they've also been playing it. I've listened to multiple shows from 2014, and I swear to God, you have to listen carefully sometimes to tell the difference. Okay, one of them, Sean David Mort, was talking about Putin and Ukraine, and another show, the same thing, Ukraine and Putin, and this was 2014. virtually no different from today.
I just don't get it, Paul. The United States is on the verge of manufacturing a false flag to precipitate a war with Russia because Biden thinks that he's going to gain the popular support from the public, which actually is going to react that this is one more manifestation of his incompetence. After the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, there's no way Biden can restore any public belief in his ability to manage the government. Paul, stand by. Paul, stand by. We're being joined by Chicago Brew. Brew, I'm delighted to hear from you. It's been a while.
Well, gee whiz, Jim. I tune in to find Paul yelling. What's Paul yelling about?
Surprise, surprise.
What is Paul yelling about? Come on, Paul. We need to be sensible here. You know, the only thing I could agree with is or suggest in opposition of what is actually happening in Ottawa with the truckers is perhaps it would have been more beneficial to take it locally to local cities and whatever and get in front of their city halls or whatever they call them in Canada, their councils, their local politicians, their local politics, their local lawmakers. That's what it would have been a bit more beneficial to have this spread out throughout Canada. And there's enough truckers and enough people that could have done that. But going all the way to Ottawa, what did they want? They wanted their own version of January 6th. Can't they learn the lesson of what happened in our capital, what they're able to do once they get a gathering of people, the number of things they could say, commit false flags and have little agents running around? Because that's what they have there. They got a nest full of super agents, and they're all condensed in one area. They've already made the threats of rolling out the military and everything else. You know they got snipers and all sorts of things going on there. It's a really bad situation. The alternative would have been more locally and to equip these people with the argument they need, not just, hey, stop what you're doing, but to actually, you know, have documentation of follow the money. Look, the city council is being paid off. Oh, look, these school districts are being paid off. Oh, look, Trudeau is making getting kickbacks for every vaccine they order and put out to inject the people. Oh, look, you know, that would have been a much better organization than what we have now. Right now, these people are in a hot mess, and I feel for them. I mean, I get all the attempt they're doing, but they got themselves into a situation now.
Brew, inference is you would agree with me that what they're doing is good, that they're taking an action, that it's inspiring to many, and that you hope it will have consequences at lower levels of government to take the right act. Is that a proper interpretation of your position?
It's good. It brings attention, but, you know, they're stuck. They're in a situation over there. You know, unfortunately, we do have alternative medias and people on the ground putting on their Twitters or will sneak it onto YouTube or other methods where they're getting the message out there. But we do know who controls the media, and it isn't, you know, good person Joe Sixpack or Good Samaritan or whatever that is controlling this. So they're controlling the narrative, because right from the beginning, what did we hear? Oh, it's just a fringe few. And then you get Trudeau's speech. Oh, with the people with unacceptable views, unacceptable thoughts. That dominates over the rest of it. And of course, now once they commit their false flag or have an agent, a provocateur, do something, they're going to blame it on the whole group rather than, oh, look, it's an actual agent of, you know, law enforcement or whatever else that did this. No, the focus would be just like we see in January 6th. We know, you know, the whole thing was set up. But look what we're hearing today. Oh, the old keepers did it, and that group did it, and all those people did it. No, look what they did. And we get all these bad, you know, lies, basically, opposed to what really happened.
Brew, I'm so pleased to have you here. We have another caller. I want you and Paul to both stand by, and I'll bring in area 815, area code 815. Give us your first name, your state, and join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. Joseph from Illinois.
Good. Go ahead. Join the conversation.
Yeah, I would just like to say to Paul, if you ever heard of that song by Arlo Guthrie, Alice's Restaurant, he says, If one man gets up, walks in, sings the bar, Alice's restaurant, walk out, they're going to think he's crazy. If two people do it, they'll think you're gay. If three people do it, they'll think this. But if you get five or ten, they'll think it's a movement, a political movement. And I don't think Paul understands this is a political struggle here. I know politics is just war by another means, and war is just politics by another means. But this is truly a grassroots movement here that they're changing hearts and minds and winning people over. And if even if it doesn't succeed, there's a possibility that started a third trucker party in Canada that could really get popular and start putting people out of parliament, hopefully.
I think those are excellent observations. And yeah, politics, it could be described as war by a nonviolent means. And JFK, of course, observed that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. If these governments don't start bending, I think violence is going to break out. A lot of them are going to wind up very dead. But I agree that they're so, you know, indebted to the Rothschilds, they are mere puppets, that it's going to be very, very difficult for them to make any concessions, even if the demands being raised by the public, in this case exemplified by the truckers, are impeccably well-founded. Science, medicine, truth are all on the side of the truckers. It's only falsehood, pseudoscience, and authoritarianism on the side of the governments who are imposing these mandates. I think that was very well said. Paul, would you like to reply?
Yeah, okay. You know, again, on other occasions and other calls, I might be slightly hostile with the idea that somebody says, well, what I don't understand. I believe I understand the situation pretty well. And here's the problem that I have with a lot of this, okay, is all these truckers getting together is a movement. Okay, yes, it's good. And they're winning hearts and minds. Okay, yes, that's good. That's not a bad thing. But to me, when you look at what is being done, what has been done already, and what's in the works, okay, when you look at what is in the vaccines, what these people have plotted and planned and schemed against us to kill anyone that is going to take the right batch and the right dose, to my mind, it's like the time for talk is over. A lot of these truckers, I'm sure they're well-meaning people, but the bottom line is the time to have said no to the vaccine is when they took it. Okay, you've got a lot of them right now. I guarantee you, they never wanted to take it, but they did. They did. So that's capitulation beforehand. And now all of a sudden they got a problem with it. It's like all these people online with these sites, and they bring all these vaccine injured, and they tell all these terrible stories. And I keep scratching my head, and I'm thinking to myself, this ridiculous position I have, but it's not ridiculous at all. It's like, I didn't tell them to take it. Right? And if I had told them not to, would they have listened to me? No. Oh, but they have to learn the hard way. Oh, now they're awake. You know, it's very frustrating to me to see what's happening. And again, if this movement ends up toppling the government, good. Fine. Then we got something. If they actually topple the government. But in my opinion, heads have to roar. People have to be swinging from gallows or it means nothing. That's my opinion.
Paul, we can't know.
It's not going to go straight to the.
We can't know if an effort's going to succeed without making the effort. So you ought to be endorsing making the effort, even if you're skeptical whether it's going to have results that work. Yeah, continue. Sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it doesn't go straight to the gallows. So first, there's people that gotta, you know, throw a cog in the machine. That's what the truckers are doing, and hopefully that the Royal Canadian Police, the police, you know, typically I view a lot of these cops in Canada, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I live in America. Those dudes are some jackboot thugs. What they're doing to rounding up people, shutting down churches, it's just unconscionable.
Exactly. Paul, hang on a minute, Paul. I've got another caller standing by. I want to bring in area code 5231. 231. Just give us your first name, state, and join the conversation.
Yes, Ken from the Mitten.
Go for it.
That's Michigan. Yeah, you know, the thing is kind of a joke. This here's a rubber duck in a convoy and stuff. It was really silly. But, you know, Jimmy Hoffa, he was the gangster that controlled the truckers union. And, you know, a lot of people love that guy, you know, and the truckers do. And so, you know, it's all about the money, and the Jews control the money. And so you could basically be getting nowhere, you know. It just, it's kind of silly, but, you know, it could be a big mess. It could get ugly. And, you know, like Paul said, we got to bring out the gallows, you know.
Yeah, but that's but that's the ultimate outcome if this situation proceeds. But you got to get political traction, and that's what they're doing here. The truckers are gaining political traction, and there's a tremendous amount of support. I mean, for God's sake, they had 10 million in contributions for the truckers that GoFundMe is not allowing them to gain access to, which tells me we got to reform GoFundMe. We got to hold them to account, make them liable to fines that are many times in form of punitive damage what they withheld. I think if GoFundMe were hit with $100 million fine for withholding the $10 million, that might get some sober response. Brew, well, let me come back to you. We're very near.
Yeah,
to
we're
the
running
end.
Out of time here. We're running out of time here. There is an alternative to GoFundMe, which is GoSendGo. I heard an interview with their organization over there, but you know they're easily able to seize those funds because what was the first thing Trudeau came out and said? These people are terrorists. So they immediately label as a terrorist organization, and therefore the GoFundMe people or whoever get to say, well, we're holding money because they've been declared a terrorist organization. All right, that's it.
Well, Brew, I'm just delighted you called in, Paul. You made a lot of points. I don't agree with all of them, as we know, but I do think there's good reason to admire what the truckers are doing. We cannot know in advance whether it will be successful, but if we never make the effort, we'll never find out. Let's hope they are successful. I certainly support them wholeheartedly, and I looks as though I'm going to be able to have a representative of the Canadian truckers with me on the show on Monday. So I wish everyone a great weekend. Spend as much time as you can with everyone you care about, the people you love, because, frankly, we do not know how much time we have left. I'm delighted with all the calls today and glad you were here. Have a great weekend.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.